Well, hey, if you guys have a Bible, Isaiah chapter 40 is where we're going to be. Isaiah 40. And this is it. This is the last session. Conference is pretty much done. I know, it's sad. It's funny because it goes by so quick, but at the same time, it's like, it's, at least when I'm teaching, you guys are like, is this ever going to end? But now the conference is over, so it's just, you guys, it's over. You're happy. Well, We've been talking about standing for God and really living the way He desires for us to live so that we can be set apart. And we sort of had a progression as we've gone. And we talked about really receiving the Lord. We talked about things that need to go into our life, things that need to come out of our life. We talked about the way our life should look. We ended yesterday with Pastor Jim talking about serving God, and then we had the night of communion, and we've really been talking about the fact that God has a call on your life. He wants to use you to reach people. He wants to use you to change the culture around you, that you aren't normal, that when you stand up for God and stand up for the things that God has called you to, God wants to use you right where you're at. And you need to understand that God is working in your life. And as we stand for God, He's working in us. Here's the problem, I think. Sometimes we don't feel it or see it. Sometimes we come to conference like this and we're saying that God wants to use you, God's working in you, God's changing you. And then you look at your life and you're kind of like, I still struggle with the same things I've always struggled with. Like, I don't feel a lot of spiritual growth. I don't feel a lot of change. I don't see a lot of difference. You keep saying that. You keep saying that God's working in me. And you kind of look back and you're like, I don't really see it. You ever been there? It's like going to the gym, right? It's like you go. I strongly believe that you should have to go to the gym one time and you should be in shape. Amen. Right? I mean, we should go. I did the workout. I did the exercise, and I should go home and look in the mirror and look exactly how I want to look. That's not the case, right? You go to the gym, and you're like, I'm still kind of scrawny. Like, I still look the same, and I think spiritual growth is so much like that. It's like, I've been going to church. I've been reading my Bible. Like, I went to conference, and I kind of feel and look exactly the same. And so much of walking with God is a process. So what do we do when we don't feel like God is doing anything in our lives? Because I think we should be honest. Let's be honest. There's times where it's like, I just don't feel it. Like, there's times where we sang that worship song, and I'm sorry, but those words are not my situation. We're singing these songs, how great my God is, and I'm not seeing it right now. God's the deliverer, and I still feel stuck. And there's so often where we're in situations where we want to be somewhere else, but right now, life is hard. Right now, I don't feel or see any progress. And so this morning, I want to talk about how we keep going, even if we don't feel any progress. How do we keep walking forward? How do we keep following God? How do we keep making steps into the things God wants for us to step into, even when we don't feel it or see it? And I've called this message, when it seems like nothing is happening. When it seems like nothing is happening. Isaiah chapter 40, and this is such an amazing passage of scripture. This should get you excited. This should get you hooting and hollering. Listen to how amazing this is. Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 28, he says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." I love it how he starts out. It's almost like he's like, wait, are you serious? You don't know this? Like, you ever have something that your friends hasn't heard yet? And you're like, oh, you don't know about this? Hold up. Let me tell you for a second. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? He neither faints nor is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings with like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I read this text and I get amped. Anybody with me? Like, that is amazing. Run and not grow weary. Mount up like we. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds amazing. Like, that sounds so cool. I want to mount up with wings like an eagle and run and not grow weary. But if I'm being honest, I don't always feel like that. To be honest, I get tired. Well, we're talking about standing for God. And there comes a time where I want to sit down. Right? Like, we're in worship and the set's like 20 minutes and you're like, yeah, I think I'm going to sit for the next song. My legs are hurting. It's only been 20 minutes, but I'm just tired. Like, I can't stand for that long. Like, how about for the rest of the message, you guys just stand with me? You want to do that? I'm just kidding. You're like, no, please, no. It's too early. Like, I'm not standing. And we're all like, yeah, I want to run and not grow weary. I want to stand for the things of God. But right now my legs are hurting and I'm tired and I'd rather sit down. And so we there's this idea where we want to stand for the things of God. We want to do what God's calling us to do. We want to live the way that God wants us to live. We want to see spiritual growth. But there's a reality where we get tired. God promises that we're going to run and not grow weary. And yet we feel exhausted right now where we're at. And really from where a lot of you stand now, it seems like a long ways before you ever step into what you feel like God's called you to. You ever been there where you're like, yeah, God's calling me to this, but from where I am right now and where I feel like God wants to take me, that seems like a really long journey. And it's so easy for us to go, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know if I can make it to where God wants me to be. I don't know if I can keep standing. I've made that stand in my school, or I've made that stand at home, and I felt the ridicule. I felt the heat, and I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know if I can handle another semester of being picked on for being that Christian kid. I don't know if I can handle another season of doing things right when everybody else around me is not living that way. I don't know if I can keep going, because right now, I feel tired, and yet we have this text that says God wants to give you strength to run and not grow weary. So the big question for this morning is, how do we get that strength? If God promises, this is a promise in His Word, that He is going to give you strength that you will not grow weary. He will give you strength that you can run with endurance. But how do we get that type of strength? What will allow us to run into the things that God has for us and not grow weary? I want to give you three things that I think are necessary, important things that we have in our life so that we can keep going even when it feels like nothing's happening. Maybe you're at a point right now where you're looking, you're like, God is just, I feel it. I feel so much spiritual growth. I feel so much change in my life. These things are necessary. Or maybe you're at a point right now and you're saying, yeah, I feel tired. This is hard. Walking with God, I thought it was going to be just like really easy, and it's really hard. So how do I keep going? These are three things that, I, no matter where you're at, are absolutely necessary for us to keep going in our walk with God. Because walking with God is not for just a limited time. It's for a lifetime. And too many young people, especially, they have seasons where they walk with God. They have seasons where they do things for God. And then they grow up, or they graduate high school and they go to college, or they step into the next thing. And then that was it. The statistics are horrible that see how many young people go from youth ministry being following God to no longer walking with God. The statistics, they're terrifying. So we don't want that. We want to walk with God for a lifetime. So how do we keep going? The first thing is intimacy with Jesus. Intimacy with Jesus. Isaiah in this text says that the key for finding this type of strength and endurance is to wait on the Lord. The word wait that he uses there, it means to hope, to look for, and to bind together. To bind together. Binding together is intimate. There's connection when things are bound together. And in order for us to find the strength that God wants us to have to keep going is by having a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. Many people, especially in transition, maybe the transition is just going from conference where everything's about Jesus. We've getting Bible studies 4 times a day, like forced time to pray, forced time to read the Bible, like going from this back into real life where there's not your youth pastor saying like, hey, make sure you do your devotions this morning and make sure you bow your head and pray. Like transition, a lot of times in transition, people lose their intimacy with Jesus. I have times like this. To be honest, when I travel, I have a hard time setting aside time to be intimate with Jesus. So just the busyness and the chaos of moving and going, it's like, oh, man, I need to set aside that time. And it's so easy when we're transitioning, when we're going, when we're moving, it's hard for us to set aside that time and be intimate with Jesus. And so we need to make sure that we are doing whatever we can to maintain our relationship with Jesus. I like to tell our students that there is no right way to spend time with Jesus. If you're spending time with Jesus, you're doing it right. There's no right way. It's like, man, I was so busy. I was eating my cereal. I had the Bible app read to me this morning. And it's like, oh, well, that's not the 30-minute quiet time. I don't know if that counts. No. If you're spending time with Jesus, you're spending time with Jesus. But we need to make sure that we're setting aside time, that we're being intimate in our relationship with God. But you also need to understand that relationships take work. Any relationship takes work. If you have a crush right now, if maybe you have camp love, you know what camp love is? It's where you fall in love at conference and you're like, this is amazing. She's so cute. She likes everything I like. And then you go home and you're like, what was I thinking? Like, this is not right. That's camp love. But maybe there's somebody you like. When you invest in relationships take work. It takes work. It takes time to make sure that you're doing things right and you're investing. And relationships take work, but also relationship with Jesus, it takes work. But God wants to work with us to maintain our relationship with Him. I love this text. This is Matthew 11, and this is in the Message paraphrase of this. And it says this, Jesus speaking, He says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? He says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. He says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn, listen to this, the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus says, just come walk with me. He said, I'm not gonna put anything heavy on you. Are you tired? Are you burnt out? Just walk with me and I will teach you how to recover your life. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace where we're just walking with Jesus. We're setting aside time to be intimate and to have relationship with Jesus. And as we live our life, we need to make sure that we are maintaining our relationship with Him. And in order for us to allow for Him to shape us, even when we don't feel it, and to work in us, even when we don't feel it, we need to keep our intimate and personal relationship with Him. But remember what Isaiah said. He said that we must wait on the Lord. What does it mean to wait? It means to wait, right? It means to wait. I don't know about you. I don't like to wait. My dad, who's been, Pastor Jim has been preaching, he says he doesn't wait. He's like, no, I just don't wait. I'm like, what do you mean you don't wait? Everybody, and he's like, not me, I don't wait. Like, if there's a line, I just do something else until there's no more line. And then I do what I'm going to do. I'm like, still technically waiting. Anyways, he's like, I don't wait. I don't wait in lines. I don't do that. Somebody else will wait for it. Like, it's like, okay, I'm the same. I hate waiting. Like, what does it mean to wait? It means to just stand there like, all right, we're waiting, right? He says, if you want strength, you got to learn to wait. But I don't really want to wait. I want it now, right? I want it right here, right now. I want to see success. I want to see growth. I want to see the calling that God has for me. He says, wait. Wait on the Lord. Be intimate with him. Have a relationship with him. Walk with him. Learn from him. Grow with him. Learn to be intimate. Learn to wait on the Lord. And he says, if you want strength, if you want to run and not grow weary, you need to learn to wait on the Lord. If we want to keep going, even when we don't feel it, even when we're tired, we need to learn to wait and be intimate with Jesus. Second thing we need to have is intentionality with the gospel. Intentionality with the gospel. I love these verses that will run and not grow weary, but I don't know about you, but I don't like to run for no reason. I'm not a jogger. Like, I don't just go out and like, where are we running? We're just running. But why? Just, you know, to run. Like, but why? You just to run. Like, no, we're not running just to run. Like, that's horrible. Anybody that jogs, I'm like, why? You don't have to do that. This is so random, but the funniest thing to me, so random, but I like watching people when they're jogging, like when they get somewhere and they turn around and they start jogging back. Isn't that weird? Like, it's rare that, think about it, it's rare that you ever see somebody, like, get to a point and then, like, do that part of the jog. Usually you just see them going, I don't know, it's kind of random. But for me, one of the things that I hate about jogging is that point. Because you're, like, jogging, and you're like, yeah, this feels good. All right, I'm ready to be home. And you're like, wait, I've got to jog home. Like, this is horrible. I don't like to run for no reason. And I believe that God wants to give us the ability to keep running when we have a goal that we're running towards. I don't think God just wants you to run around aimlessly. Like, just run and not grow weary. Just keep running. Where am I going? Just run. Just run around. Isaiah says later in the book of Isaiah 52, verse 7, he says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. How beautiful are the feet? It's not a normal sentence. Feet are pretty gross. He says, how beautiful are the feet upon the mountains, he says, that are running with something. Running with good news. In the New Testament, we get the word gospel. And the word gospel, it just means good news. It's the message. It's the good news message of Jesus Christ. That if you simply believe on him, he will forgive you of your sins and you can have right relationship with God. That is the gospel. And he says, how beautiful are the feet that are running with that message. And I believe that God wants to give you strength to run when you're running with a goal. There's a target in mind. It's not just running to run. It's running with a message. I am bringing the message of Jesus Christ, the message that the world is dying to hear. I am bringing that message. I am running with that message. It's not running just to run. It's running with intention. It's running with a purpose that I am running to people that need the message of Jesus Christ. And what it means is we're actively looking for people and opportunities to show the love of God. We want to run and not grow weary, but we're not just running around. We're running with the gospel. We're running with the good news. We're running with the message. And what we need to understand is that your life has a purpose, and that purpose is to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the world. And everywhere you go, no matter what it is, you have a purpose there. At school, yeah, I'm here to learn, but I'm also here to be a witness of Jesus Christ. I'm at work, yeah, I'm here to get a paycheck and to learn how to work and learn responsibility, but also I'm here to be a light in this community to show people the gospel. Everywhere you go, you have a purpose, but what that requires is intentionality. It is easy for us to be going and to miss out on those moments. Where maybe you're going to wear your camp shirt and somebody's like, what does that mean? You're like, oh, it's just the shirt from I got out of a camp. You're like, all right, see you later. Like, no, that is an opportunity, but you have to be intentional with it. You have to say, oh, this is what I believe. I'm making a stand to follow God, and this is what I believe. You've got to be intentional with that because you can miss opportunity all the time if you're not intentional with that message. And he says, we're going to run and not be weary, but we need to make sure that we're running with a purpose. We're running towards a goal. But the only way we're going to have success in this is if we're set apart. You need to be set apart. If you're going to be intentional with the gospel, you need to be set apart in your life. We've been talking about this throughout. We shouldn't act like the world. We shouldn't talk like the world. We shouldn't think like the world. We're called to be set apart. And when we're set apart, it would allow for us to be better able to influence people with the message. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. He says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation." He says, when you live set apart, people will see God at work in you. He says, they will look at your good works and they will glorify God in heaven. Because there's something different about them. They are set apart. They're running not just aimlessly. Our culture is running aimlessly towards things that they don't even know what. We're running towards fame. We're running towards fortune. We're running towards this. We're just kind of running around. And then people, Christians, show up and say, "No, I'm running with a purpose. I've got God that I want to grow closer to, and I've got people that I want to reach with the message of Jesus." We're running with a purpose. It's different. It goes against the culture. And when people see that, he says that they will see your good works and they will glorify your Father in heaven. We need to make sure that we're intentional by actively pursuing opportunity, and we need to be intentional in being set apart. If you want strength, if you want to keep going, even when you don't feel it, you need a goal. The goal is to bring the message, the good news, to the world. Third thing, you guys still with me? Is this helping anybody? Cool. Final thought, investment. People, kingdom, heaven. If we want strength to walk with God, we need to make sure we're investing in the right things. And one of the most important investments we can make in is people. One of the most important investments that you can make is in people. Meaning we want to be a blessing to other people. Too many Christians are selfish. We often get too focused on what God is doing in us. And I think that's part of the problem when we feel like God's not doing anything in us, is we're too focused on feeling like God's not doing anything in us. We're so focused on ourselves, and we come to church for what we need, and we worship God for what we think we need, and we read the Bible because hopefully there'll be something in there for me, and we do all the, and so often our Christianity is totally about us. It's totally about us. And what God wants us to understand is that you're going to grow when you're investing in other things. And the best way for us to make progress in our relationship with Jesus is by investing in other people. Is by getting our eyes and our attention off of us, looking to Jesus and focusing on things that we can pour ourselves into. And we want to make sure that people really feel better about themselves and how God views them after they've spent time with you. That's a good way to live. That's a good way to live. That somebody, when we walk away from a conversation, do they feel better about themselves and God calling on their life than before I walked up? Or do they feel discouraged or awkward or whatever? We want to make sure that we're investing in people. Another important investment that we can make is in the kingdom of God. We want to invest in people, but we also want to invest in the kingdom of God. Jesus told us to seek first his kingdom. And what he means is that we are investing in the things that God cares about. His church, his people, his plans. We want to care about what God cares about. I think a lot of us, we care about things that God's not really too interested in. Like, yeah, God's interested in aspects of them because you're interested in them and God cares about you as a person. But I think a lot of times we care too much about things that God really isn't invested in. God right now, he's building his church. Do you know that? God is building his church. Jesus said that he is going to build his church and the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. That right now Jesus is building his church and he has commissioned us. He has called us. He has really asked us to come alongside him and be a part of what he's doing. You have opportunity to be a part of what God is doing on the earth right here, right now. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? That God has asked you to say, hey, this is what I'm doing. Do you want to join me? Do you want to be a part of this? And we have opportunity to step in and be a part of what God is. He's building his church. God is searching to save lost people. Right now on the earth, God is looking for people that will rise up and run with the gospel so that other people that don't yet know Jesus can enter into a relationship with him. And he's commissioned you, he's called you to step into that. God, right now, he's working his plans out on planet Earth, and he has called you to be a part of his plans. He's got plans for you, and he's got plans as a whole, and he wants you to step into them. And Jesus says, we need to make sure that we are in seeking first God's kingdom. We are invested in, we care about the things that God cares about. I think a good thing for us to do is just ask ourselves every once in a while, are the things that I'm caring for, is this what you care about, God? Is this the top of your list? Where are you at, God? What are you up to? What are your goals? Is this it right now? Is where I go to school the top of your list right now? Is who I marry the top of your list right now? Absolutely, God's invested in those things. But is that what God's doing on the earth? I want to seek first God's kingdom. He says when you seek first his kingdom, what happens? All those other things are added to you. We focus on all the other things, right? We focus on all these other things. We miss out on everything when we're focused on all the other things. But Jesus says, if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all those other things that you're worried about, all those other things that you care for, he says, those will be added with it. We want to make sure that we are seeking, we are investing in the things that God cares about. And finally, we want to invest in heaven. We want to spend our life living for and storing up for treasures in heaven. And we do that by living pleasing to God. We don't want to waste our life on the things that don't matter. We want to spend our lives on the things that do. You know the difference between spending your money and wasting your money, right? There's a difference. There's some times where you're like, I am spending my money. I have worked hard for this money, or my parents have worked hard for this money, and I've asked them enough times, and now they've given it to me, and I am going to spend my money on something that is actually beneficial to me. And then there's other times where you waste your money. Like, oh, yeah, that's cute. I need that. And then your parents are like, how much was that? And you're like, And it's like, why did I? Anybody ever had buyer's remorse? You ever had that? I'm like, oh, what have I done? You already wore it. It's too late. Anyways, there is a difference between spending your money and wasting your money. And there is a difference between spending your life and wasting your life. There is a difference between living your life for the things that God cares about and living your life for heaven. And there is a difference between wasting your life on the things that don't. We don't want to waste our life. We want to spend our life. We don't want to have lived our whole life focused on things that don't and looked at all the opportunities that God presented to us and we wasted it because we were so focused on other things. We want to look at our life and say, I spent it. I spent my life on the things of God doing what God wants me to do. We want to get to heaven having lived our lives sold out for Jesus. Because when we get to heaven, we will be rewarded for all that we did on the earth for God in the kingdom. And we don't want to get to heaven with a saved soul and a wasted life. You know, you can do that, right? Because salvation is all Jesus. Salvation is faith in Jesus. He says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you are saved. You have access into heaven. It's as simple as that. But storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven, which Jesus told us to do multiple times, that is all based upon what you do right here, right now. That's up to you. Storing up treasures in heaven, what Pastor Jim talked about the other day about having an abundant entrance, that's all you. Salvation, all Jesus. Treasures in heaven, reward in heaven, that's all you. And you don't want to have lived your life, wasted your life on things that don't matter. You want to spend your life on the things that do, so that when you get to heaven, you will receive the reward for living for God right here, right now. We sang the other day one of those songs that said, there will be a day when our faith will become sight. Remember that lyric? I think it's in It As Well. Is that right? I think so. Anyways, there, it says, faith will become sight, because right now is our only opportunity to have faith. A day is going to come where you're going to stand before God. You won't need faith anymore. Oh, man, I just struggle. I got to believe in God even though I don't see him. One day you're going to see him. Your faith will become sight. Right now is the only opportunity for you to have faith. And did you know that the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith? Right now is your opportunity to please God. Right now is your opportunity to live for God. Once you get to heaven, you don't need to evangelize anymore. Like, have you ever heard about Jesus? Like, yeah, he's right there. This guy. Once you get there, you won't need to live for these things anymore. Your opportunity is right here, right now. So we better stand up and take that opportunity, because we don't want to get to heaven. Yeah, Jesus, you saved me, but I'm sorry, I wasted my whole life. We want to live for the things that matter, because a day is going to come where we're going to stand before God. And when we stand before God, he is going to reward us for the things that we've done. I want to invite the worship team back up. I've got one more story I want to tell you, and we're going to close this out. But worship team, you guys can head up here. A day is going to come where we are going to stand before God. And like I said, he is going to reward us for the things that we did right here, right now. When I was graduating high school, I was homeschooled and kind of barely graduated high school, then dropped out of college, and I have a high school diploma, and that is it. You're like, have you studied in Bible college? No. Did you go to real college? I tried. Didn't go well. But when I was graduating high school, I was homeschooled, and my mom, as most homeschool moms do, she insisted that we had some sort of graduation. So she bought like a cap and gown from like the thrift store or something, and she made me walk down our stairs. Super embarrassing. I think there's a photo somewhere. Nobody should have to see that. Anyways, that was my graduation. Walked down. My mom was like, yeah, you did it. And I'm like, yeah, Mom. And then that same year, a few friends of mine were graduating from one of the schools, and they asked me to go with them to watch their graduation. So I went, and it was in an auditorium, a couple thousand people there. And the school was having their graduation. And the way they did it is that they would announce every single person individually. It was a kind of a smaller school, so they were able to do that. And they were announcing every single person individually and basically saying what their plan was next. And so I was sitting in the back of the auditorium. I had just done my walk down the stairs in front of my mom, and was sitting there. And one by one, they're calling out these students. They're like, this is so-and-so. They graduated with honors, and they're going to this college, and they're going to study this, and they're going to do this with their life. And everybody's like, yeah. And they're like, this is so-and-so. They've decided that after high school, they're enlisting in the United States Air Force, and they're going to serve our country. And everybody's like, yeah, amazing. And like, this is so-and-so. They graduated, and they're going to stick around for 2 years, go to community college, and then they're going to transfer to this school, and they're going to do this. And this is so-and-so, and they're going to be a firefighter. And this is so-and-so, and they're going to do this. And I remember sitting there thinking, what would happen if they called my name right now? They would go, this is Nate Gallagher. He made it. And that is it. I'd be like, yeah, I guess I made it. He's got no plans for his future. He's not going to college. He's going to try and fail. And I remember thinking, it was actually my senior year of high school that I gave my life to the Lord. And I remember God was doing a work in my life. And I remember sitting there in that auditorium and sort of imagining what it was going to be like the day that I stood before God. And there's going to be a day where we're going to stand before God, and He is going to reward us for what we've done here and now. And I remember thinking, I don't want my real life high school graduation experience to be anything like the day I stand before God. I don't want to get before God and Him go, "This is Nate. He made it." Everyone's like, "Barely." There's going to, when we stand there, we're going to be able to witness those that have gone before us and that have walked with God, and they're going to be rewarded for the things that they did here on the earth. Could you imagine that? We're going to stand there, and the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is going to be rewarded. They're going to say, "This is the Apostle Paul, and he loved God, and he loved people, and he wrote half the Bible, and he did amazing things." And there's going to be people like Pastor Mike. This Pastor Mike, he served in youth ministry for over 15 years. He loved young people. He hosted this conference every year because he wanted to see young people step into their calling. And he served behind the scenes when nobody was looking. There's Chuck, and he's staying late and making sure that nobody's hurting themselves and doing it. And there's going to be all these people that did amazing things for God, and they're going to be rewarded. And then they're going to call your name. And you're going to walk up, and what's it going to look like? Is this person going to have spent their life for God? Or are they going to have wasted it on things that don't matter? My challenge is that we invest our life, that we spend our life. We want to get to heaven on an empty tank of gas. We don't want to get to heaven and say, like, "Yeah, I had some more fuel in the tank. I wanted to save it just in case." No, we want to get to heaven with an empty tank of gas, barely making it in because our car is running out, because we gave everything we possibly could for God and for the kingdom. We invested in people. We invested in the kingdom. We invested in heaven. We didn't waste our life. We spent it on the things that matter. And Jesus, when we get there, He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in and rest." And we're going to say, "Yeah, we made it, not just barely, but we spent our life on the things that matter." Amen. We want to live for the things that God cares about. And so as we leave conference, we want to say, "I'm going to invest. I'm going to be intimate with Jesus. I'm going to be intentional with the gospel. And I'm going to invest in the things of God." Let's stand together and let's worship the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your love and for Your grace. God, we thank You that You want to give us strength to run and not grow weary. We love You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.